Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today. Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thank you again for joining me this week for another edition of The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I'm excited, as always, to be with you on this Tuesday morning, and I'm grateful that you have chosen to spend some of your time with me. Today, I am talking to Mark Barnes, who is a retired educator. He's also a published author, and he owns a publishing company. And he's, I think, really onto something with a theme that he calls Hacking Life After 50, which is really what we're going to be talking about today. So thank you so much for joining me.
Allison, I appreciate you having me on. It's great to be here.
Of course, my pleasure. So if you don't mind, before we get into what we're going to talk about, tell my audience a little bit about you. I know I just said you're a retired teacher, but but I know that there's probably more to that.
Yeah. Actually, retired is not entirely accurate. Mm-hmm. I taught in the classroom for about 23 years, mostly middle school, seventh and eighth grade, a little bit of high school. And near the end of that time, I wrote a book where I was talking about sort of my life as an educator. And, you know, over decades, I think most educators probably change. But I had some pretty dramatic changes that I think made some, you know, big impacts on my students. So I wrote about this, and that was sort of the transition time for me leaving the classroom after that book came out and people... I was getting a lot of requests for people to come and present, you know, talk about my work and talk a little bit about the book. And ultimately, that led to a sort of an entrepreneur journey. And I wanted to do more books for teachers and school leaders and improve education and ultimately help kids. And I launched a publishing company in 2014 called Times 10 Publications. And we did... what's called the Hack Learning series. And ultimately we'll be talking about Hacking Life After 50, which is a new book in that series. So for the last 10 years, almost 10 years, I've been working with other educators, helping them get their ideas into books and getting the books published and distributed all over the world. And now we've decided that we like the Hack Learning format so much that we want to do books for that aren't aimed primarily at teachers and school leaders, but would be good for anyone or a variety of audiences, like those in the after 50s life.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So let's start there then. What is the Hack Learning series?
Well, when we started this about 9 years ago, I was co-authoring a book that we decided to call Hacking Education with a good friend, Jennifer Gonzalez. And Jennifer's a popular podcaster and blogger in the education space now. And we this was based on a blog post I had written that was about some simple ways that school leaders could help teachers solve problems. Okay. And this post was fairly popular, and basically it was just here are three problems that educators face daily, and here's three simple hacks for school leaders to help them. Mm. Well, that was pretty popular, and we got a lot of feedback on that, and I thought, boy, you know, I think we could expand on this. And in fact, someone wrote in a blog post comment, I bet there's more of these solutions and maybe even enough for a book. I should remember that person's name and credit him, but I don't. But anyways, I talked to my friend Jennifer and I said, hey, what do you think about, you know, writing this book? And anyways, we over, you know, 6 or 8 months came up with a long list of problems that teachers face. And we created this format with the problem and the hack. And the bedrock really is a section in every chapter called What You Can Do Tomorrow. And we said, you know, there's too much of this idea of the 5-year plan and mission statements and big, long ways to solve problems. And teachers don't like that. And it's not great for kids. So we said, you know what, with every solution or hack we have for a problem, let's give a list of bullet points that you could do tomorrow to make it happen.
I love that because, and I agree with you, being in, I teach, I'm an adjunct professor at a local college here in town. And that's I think a big problem in academia is that it's nothing wrong with talking about the future and where you see yourself going and, you know, what our strategic vision is and all that. The problem with that is that it doesn't lend itself to, like, to your point, what can you do tomorrow? Like, what are we going to do today that's going to move us closer? So I love that whole idea that what can we do tomorrow? And here it is.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And there is nothing wrong with seeing the future. And, right. And you know, right. I'm not completely anti-planning for the future and saying, hey, well, you know, next year or the year after, we would like to do these things. And we actually have a section in all Hack Learning series books that address that too. We call it building momentum. So we're saying, if you can do this tomorrow, here's a way you can build that out and make it sticky, you know, something that lasts, habitual even. So yeah, it's a little bit of both, but I think everyone, and in the nonfiction world, I really think that readers want, you know, they want answers and they don't want someone to say, hey, this is great 5 years from now. So
no, I agree with you.
We need action.
Yeah, people are very interested, I think, especially today with everything that's happened in the last 4 or 5 years, not just in education, but in the world in general, you know, especially with the pandemic and everything. It's like people need to be focused on their day to day. You know, what can I do today that's going to move me further along?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit then about this Hack Life After 50, because we've kind of talked about the Hack Learning series and it's figured out that I might be onto something here. I'm going to expand this idea, right? So you know, how do you hack life after 50? What's your general philosophy on that?
Well, my co-author, Jim Sturdivant, and I found ourselves, you know, we're both educators and he taught for 35 years and still teaches at the college level. So our conversations used to be, you know, teaching and learning. I mean, just about anything we would talk about. Well, we found a couple of years ago that we started talking more about health and fitness, well-being, and longevity. You know, Jim has adult kids. I have adult kids. He's a grandfather. I hope someday I'll be a grandfather. And, you know, we just talked about how we really believe in doing everything possible to be around, to see them grow. And to explore all of the wonderful things in the world. So the more we talked, we started swapping ideas. You know, he would talk a lot about strength training because he was a football coach and the, you know, weightlifting coach and all these things in his many years teaching high school. And I started talking a lot about changes I made to my diet because, you know, right about the time I was 50, almost 10 years ago now, I wasn't very healthy. And, you know, it was sort of that turning point where I saw my elderly parents, and I do have some genetics on my side. You know, my parents both lived into their 90s, but I saw them in their last years decline rapidly. They both suffered from dementia and Alzheimer's. And I just said, you know, I would love to get that far, maybe even to 100. But I don't want to live that way. And, you know, not too many people do. I just said, you know, I need some changes. And I started making some incremental changes. And that's another thing Jim and I talked a lot about was that we got to where we are now and into some really good health and fitness habits by increments, you know, by degrees.
Yeah.
So let's
talk about like what some of those, what are some of your best ones? Like, let's just like rapid fire here. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we talked in the beginning, right from the jump, hack one is called create purpose. And what we have found in our research and in talking to many after 50s, people that are 60s, 70s, 80s, is that the older we get, the more people tend to think that they don't have purpose. They say, what's left for me? Jump right into we're gonna talk about purpose and that we want everyone to believe that they have purpose right up until their last breath. And when you're older, you have many things that the younger people, the up to 50s, don't have. You have you have maybe more education. You have experience. So we talk about sharing. It's really important. We talk about creating what we call a momentum mindset. And that's just, you know, establishing an attitude that is devoted to growth. No matter how old you are, we want to grow physically, emotionally, mentally. We want to have a sense of curiosity, a yearning for adventure, a willingness to try things at the risk of failure. You know, as educators, we had a lot of conversations about how we wanted to teach kids that it's okay to fail, embrace failure, and let's learn from those failings. So when we fail, what did we do wrong and how can we improve it? And that's really the bedrock of learning. And a lot of times after 50s lose that, they lose the curiosity and the willingness to try new things. The fear sets in. We become more fearful of failure. We don't want to take risks. So these are things that we get right into ahead of the physical well-being. We have several chapters on physical well-being. We talk about mastering meal planning. So it's not fad diet, but we do emphasize, you know, a plant-based life primarily. And if you're going to eat, you know, the standard American diet foods, let's mix those in very small increments. And we have some strategies for that. We have a hack that's just called MOVE. And one of the big problems we face in after 50s and well after 50s is a muscle and bone degeneration. We lose flexibility. And then comes the risk of falling. And falling for elderly people is a really big problem.
Absolutely. Well, accidents and falls are one of the leading causes of death in older people.
Oh, it absolutely is. And you know, Allison, one in four people after 65 will fall every year. I mean, that's a staggering number. That's about 8 million people.
I would argue it's
people.
Probably higher than that, honestly, especially.
I mean, you're talking about probably 8 to 10 million people past 65 who are going to fall. Now, what's the scarier part of that is a lot of those people who fall are going to break a hip. And the data says that people after 65 who break their hip, one in four only live another 6 months.
So, the break in the hip it's almost like a short circuit. It just sets off a whole cascade of unintended things.
Totally.
You can't script and you can't make up. So the long and the short of it is let's keep moving. Let's keep our body strong so that we really reduce that likelihood of that happening.
We love that. And this isn't rocket science. We're not physicians. We say this, we have numerous disclaimers in our book. We're not doctors. We recommend readers to consult their doctors before trying some of the things we recommend. We're not nutritionists. We are researchers, educators, and practitioners. So we're sharing things that we have put a ton of research into and then said, you know what? Let's go try this. If someone says this works, let's give it a try. So it's really important for people to move. And it's so easy to let that get away. You know, it's easy to become isolated, especially in this world.
And we aren't as active as we get older. No. I mean, most people aren't. And why is that? Because people sit more. People start to believe that, well, my body won't do that. You know, just like what I said before, that ship has sailed. I'm not 20 years old anymore. You know, I hear that from people all the time. And my argument to that is, you know, our bodies are created to move and you can start anytime.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And the way you just phrased it, it was almost like you heard another interview I had recently. I was stating it exactly as you just did. I said, we get to a point where it's easy to sit and to have that sedentary lifestyle. And we justify it as we get older by saying, I'm old. right? Yep. You know,
my body won't, my back hurts.
My body won't do it. I don't have that movement.
I'm not as young as I used to be.
Sure.
I just can't do what everyone else is doing. And I'm like, okay, now why is that? Why can't we do it your way? You know, there's always something that you can do to make your body stronger, something that you can do to be more active. And the underneath all of this, that what we haven't mentioned is it just makes you feel better, if anything else. I mean, so what if you don't look like a supermodel? I mean, very few people do, right? I mean, most people, if they're really honest, I mean, and look, I've been in the fitness industry for, you know, all of my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason that I keep working out is I like the way it makes me feel. I feel energetic. My mind feels more clear. I can focus better. I just feel like my life is better when I do it.
Yeah, that's absolutely spot on. And the way you feel is so important. We are very big in talking about physical fitness in the way it makes you feel and about how long it will help you live. It isn't about what you look like. And even in our chapter where we talk about meal planning, and we use the word diet, but we stay very clear of fad diets, and we don't shame anyone for how they live. We're not anti-vegetarian or vegan or pro-vegan or any of that. We just say that what this is about is living the kind of lifestyle that will get you, I like to say, to a healthy 100. And, you know, I think that's a pretty good goal. You know, a lot of people go, I wouldn't want to live to 100. But the problem is we stigmatize elderly. You know, so what do they see when someone sees a 100-year-old person? In their mind, they see broken down, they see in a home, demented,
laying in a bed, needing help.
Right.
Right. And it's like, people are like, no, thanks. That's not what I want. And quite frankly, I don't blame them. But by the same token, you know, people are living longer now than they ever have, you know, and I know several people in their mid to upper 90s that are still very active, still, you know, participate in things, and they have all their faculties. And I know it's because they keep moving, you know. I mean, that's what our bodies are created to do.
Absolutely. And as I said, you know, everything we write and talk about is based on practice and experience. And, you know, I mentioned my parents. My father passed away at 93, and it was from a heart condition. Otherwise, apart from that, he was healthy. He moved. You know, I use him as an example often. And especially when we talk about resistance training in our book, and, you know, a lot of people are afraid of that. They think it means, you know, they envision people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, with the heavy muscles and the weights and all. And the key is just using your body weight and easing into it. My father, I never saw him lift a weight in his life, but I'll tell you what, growing up, what I saw was him laying underneath a car that was jacked up, and he was had a wrench in his hand, and he's cranking something that's stuck, and I see his muscles flexing. And that always, you know, that sticks with me. That image to this day sticks with me. This guy was constantly moving, and he was using the muscles that we need for foundational movement, getting up.
Well, the goal at the end of the day is to move well and stay injury free if possible. And having said that, if we do get injured, then the more you move your body, the quicker you will recover for the most part. And so I've created a brand new Visionary Retreat Leaders Checklist. This is pure gold, folks. This is all stuff that I have learned through my own planning processes over the last 10 years that I've been delivering retreats. So if you want to get your hands on a copy, it's absolutely free. You can go to my website, www.theallisonk.com, click on the Work With Me icon, Work With Me, which is on the left-hand side if you go to my website, and click it. And you start scrolling down the page, and there'll be a pop-up window that will appear, and you can just put your email address in, and we'll be glad to send it to you. So make sure you take advantage of this. This is an amazing free offer. This is worth its weight in gold. And quite honestly, I see a lot of people charging a lot of money for the stuff that I'm just giving to you for free. So go get your hands on it. I would love to get your feedback, see what you think. but definitely take it as a free gift from me, because I really believe in over delivering and oversharing. And I just want you to be able to have it so that you can start using it and planning your own retreats and events. So take advantage. I would love to hear what you think.
And that's a huge part, because, you know, muscle mass and bone density, this is what we're talking about. We need to maintain, and as much as we can, try and build muscle mass, because the more we lose that muscle mass and bone density, the more we become at risk of the falls and those injuries. And again, as you said, it becomes harder to recover if you don't have it. If you are active, if you're moving, if you're putting the right things in your body, and you fall, you have a much better chance of recovering.
Yeah. And much quicker too. And the same I can say for illness too. You know, if you move and you move often, you know, and you stay active, that should you get, you know, sick for whatever reason, then, you know, your body has the capability to fight it off a lot better, you know, more efficiently and effectively, which is, you know, what our immune system is supposed to do.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a nice transition into talking about what you eat. Yeah. And again, we have a hack we call master meal planning. Mm-hmm. And what we talk about, and from our own experience, as I mentioned, you know, 10 years ago, I was not in good shape. I was overweight. I felt poor. I was in a bad mood all the time. And a lot of it had to do with, I wasn't moving and I wasn't eating right. So, and, you know, recovery in any form, whether it's from illness or falling or anything like that, a lot of it does have to do with how intentional you are about all of these things, about movement, about what you put into your body, hydration, how you sleep, all of those things. Yeah, it's a combination. And that's what we write about in Hacking Life After 50 is, it's not just one of these, it's all of them.
No, and I like that, because it's really not even about eating, it's about fueling your body. Because there's a difference between just eating to eat, you know, or snacking or whatever you want to call it. And then literally, like, fueling your body is a completely different perspective.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think we want to, I don't want anyone listening to say, well, I'm hearing somebody who's telling me to get into the gym and that I can't eat something that I like, because that's just not it at all. The gym is certainly an option, you know, it's an option. And if you're someone who wants to go to the gym to do any kind of movement or resistance training, another nice piece of that is community, you know, and we write about that as well. You know, we're all about living a long, healthy, joy-filled life. Yeah. And there's a lot of this that's involved with joy. And again, going back to meal planning, there is joy in eating. You know, what you said is spot on. We have to, we eat to fuel our body and to fight disease and sickness. But we do want to enjoy it. Yep. And all of these things can happen. And I think that's what Jim and I are so into, is we are happy. We're, you know, he's 62, I think. I'm 59. And we say we're living our best life right now. You know, we're fitter than we've maybe ever been. We eat well. We enjoy things. We're curious. We try new things constantly. And, you know, that's the key.
Yeah. No, and I could not have said it better. I think it's about quality of life at the end of the day. And, you know, even for people listening who say, well, that's just a whole lot of change. You know, I mean, my rebuttal is always, okay, let's pick one thing and start with that, because it's funny how it has a snowball effect.
Yeah. And again, you're spot on again. It is. And we emphasize this throughout. As much as I say we want to do all of these things eventually, you know, Hacking Life After 50 ends with a chapter that we call Thrive. And in the subtitle of that hack, we say we want to stack new habits. We're creating these habits incrementally by degrees. We're not saying, you know, the New Year's dieters, New Year's resolution dieters, they almost always fail, right? Because it's a massive change. You know, the people who suddenly say, I'm going to get into the gym and build a bunch of muscle, they typically stop 4 to 6 weeks in because they're taking on massive change. We're not in favor of that at all. It does not work. But if you were reading our book and you're looking at the things we're discussing and you say, you know what, I want to try one of those things. And then you make that a habit, and then you say, well, you know, if I did that, I can try this. I mean, in our chapter on movement, you know, we talk about getting up. For one, for the sedentary people, let's start and talk about by degrees, stand up. Let's just stand up. You want to watch your TV or be on your scrolling social media or whatever, do it on your feet. Do it on your feet for a minute, for 5 minutes. These are really important concepts. And I think that anyone can be successful no matter how old they are if they try some of these things.
No, and I love that. And I just think the more we talk about it in simple terms, I think the more people, hopefully it's going to land for them like that, which brings me to my next question. You know, I know that this is all like super valuable for people listening because a majority of my audience is over 50. So, but what do you say to somebody who just wants to begin today? Like, what's your best tip? Maybe it's like the top three. I mean, you know, what's your best piece of advice?
Well, since you said top three, I'll say this. And again, we want to use increments. We don't want to overwhelm people because that's when they're going to quit. Mm-hmm. But there's three simple things you could do. So let's start with your physical well-being and let's start with meal planning. So let's say that diet is an issue. The one simple thing is to cut out one thing that's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even saying cut it out 7 days a week. Let's say someone is a soda drinker, you know, and you drink some kind of soda. We call it pop in Ohio. My wife would be on my case. She goes, we call it pop.
Yeah.
So, she's not here listening. So, but you know, if you're talking about some of the worst stuff you can put into your body.
Totally. I could not agree more.
The sugar, you know, the acidity. I mean, it's just really not healthy. So, but I know people that they're going to drink, you know, nearly a liter of pop or soda a day. So one thing we say in our meal planning or master meal planning is pick one of the things that are hard for you and cut back. Start with a day. You know what? Today, I'm not going to have that glass of soda. So that's one. Cut out one thing as far as meal planning goes. And then once you do that, if you could add one thing that you typically don't have a lot of that's really on the healthy side, check the superfoods. And we lead people right to where they need to go to learn all this stuff.
Love it.
And add one thing. It's always one thing. It's one little thing.
Yeah.
Another one would be around sleep. Mm-hmm. When it comes to longevity, sleep is arguably the most underrated factor.
Absolutely.
For living a long life.
Yep.
In America, I don't want to speak for
recharging.
Yeah. I don't want to speak for other countries that I don't know as much about, but Americans for some reason don't think sleep is important. I used to be one of them. I used to be the guy that says sleep is a waste of time. Yeah. I can be doing so much. All right. Right. Yeah. And I can, you know, I'll stay up till 1 or 2 and I can do so much more. And then I can get up at 4 and, you know, and then when I was in bed, I wasn't really sleeping well. You know, my doctor called me an insomniac. She said, I had a sleep study done. They're like, you don't sleep well at all.
Yeah.
So once I started, you know, my own journey toward better fitness and health and well-being and started researching, that was one of the big ones. I looked into sleep because I said, you know, I'm an insomniac. My doctor says it's a problem and she keeps saying I should get better sleep. So I'm like, what is this really about? The more I researched, the more I learned that the impact of sleep is so underrated. Mm-hmm. And not getting the right amount of sleep and restorative sleep leads to a litany of issues: lack of focus, impaired memory, reluctance to exercise because of fatigue, and on the worst side, high blood pressure, diabetes, depression,
and just the lack of focus and forgetfulness.
Right, and it's hard. It's hard to function. You know.
Yeah.
So that's another one I would say, and we have in our chapter or hack that we call recharge. And it's all about getting good restorative sleep. And we outline the steps. And some of this stuff people will read and they'll go, yeah, I've seen that. Because it isn't all new, but again, yeah, it's like a combination of things. Right. No. So, you know, we just outline those things. So if someone is, if you're listening and you ask me to provide a few simple takeaways that you could do right away, you know, evaluate your own sleep. Do you get good sleep? And keep in mind, that doesn't mean that, you know, if you went to bed at one time and you got up 8 hours later, you say, I got 8 hours sleep. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
Yeah.
You can be in bed and not be sleeping.
Yeah.
So I think that would be one, is to be intentional about sleep. Do your own little inventory and say, how well do I really sleep? And if you're into technology, the wearable devices are phenomenal for helping you to understand. I never truly understood how well I slept until I got a device, a ring that I wear. Mm-hmm. And it's all the difference in the world when it's, you know, a couple of weeks go by and you're like, wow, so I might be in bed for 7 or 8 hours, but I'm only sleeping for 5.
Yeah.
And my deep sleep was 8 or 10%, and you want to be at least 18 to 20%.
Yeah. Right. At least.
So those are big ones right there. And then one more, I don't know if I got the three or not. I would just say we have a hack that we affectionately call dabble. And dabble is all about that attitude we talked about in the beginning of the conversation about you still understanding that you still have purpose no matter how old you are, and that there's so much life to explore. And in dabble, we talk about ways to engage with people, with places, with events, with activities, to take chances, to do something you wouldn't typically do, to learn. So that would be one more. I would say, what can you do? What are you curious about? What can you do that you haven't done before?
Yeah. Well, no, I like that, because I think you've given us, like, I mean, there's obviously like tons of golden nuggets here for people to walk away with, but the central thing that keeps coming back up is let's just pick one, right? And let's start with the small habits, and let's kind of use that to give yourself some momentum, which I think, you know, when you get to be a certain age, you kind of forget, you sort of think that you're not capable of change, but you really are if you do it in the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's capable.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, Mark, where can people find you and connect with you?
Well, we're talking all about after 50s life, Allison. So I would say, it's to keep it simple, visit after50slife.com.
After50slife.
And that's the number, after50slife.com. We have a Facebook page that is the same. And my wife, who is extremely busy, is an educator. I said something about something that was on that page, and she goes, oh, I haven't seen that. And she was looking for it, and she said, I can't find it. And she was typing the word 50s. And I said, it's the number.
Yeah, it's the number. I like that.
After50slife.com, all about the book, all about me, all about my co-author, Jim Sturtevant, other resources. It's just it's a good place to go.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Hey, I've loved it. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. So folks out there listening, if what we have talked about today is really landing for you, and believe me, there's a lot of stuff here. This is probably an episode that you want to bookmark and go back to and listen to again. Maybe you have a friend or a colleague who you think really needs to hear it and would be helpful for them. So please just feel free to copy the link and send it to them as a free gift from me. And if you like, you can connect with me on my site at www.theallisonk.com. And we will be happy to do that for you. Either I'll do it or someone on my team will do it. Because this is really how we create the change that Mark and I have been talking about for the last little bit here is that, you know, it takes somebody suggesting, hey, you want to give this a try. And you know what? I'm going to pick this one habit and I'm going to start with this. And when I do this one habit, it leads to something else over here. And before you know it, you've created a lot more change than what you thought. And that's really the whole point of this conversation. So if what we've talked about has really made sense for you and you would like to learn more about Mark and his work, you can go and find his website in the show notes or in the comments below, after50slife.com. And you can look for the Facebook page as well. Both of those links are in the show notes. And thank you for continuing to listen and follow us. This is why we're heard all over the world and why we rank high in all the search engines. And it's because of people like you who continually follow us, give us feedback, write reviews, subscribe and download. Every single thing matters. And I just want you to know that I'm super grateful for all of you. So that's what I got for you this week on the podcast. This is Allison Katzkowski with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You're one step closer to living your ultimate life. So make it a good one.